Well, it's good to be back. You cannot be on holiday forever. How many realize that? Why do I want Pelham to read these 48 verses? As a church, we must always open the Bible. Amen? We must read the Bible, and we must preach from the Bible. If we move away from that, then very soon we will not be any different from the world. God's word is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your words this morning that you will speak to every heart that is here. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever faithful, and we open our hearts to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. The king is coming from the line of King David. Matthew chapter 2. The king is born in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 3. The king is anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is approved. He is affirmed. And he is assured by the Father when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 4. The king is tempted and he overcame all temptation. He proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we come to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. The king is here. His name is Jesus. This three chapter is called the Sermon of the Mount or the Beatitude. What is Beatitude? It's make up of two words. Be like who? Be like Christ. And how do you be like Christ? To have the attitude of who? The attitude of Christ. So it's called the Beatitude, the Sermon of the Mount. It's about the king and the kingdom. It's about kingdom living, kingdom life. How the king expects us. We are the citizen of his kingdom. How the king expects us to live on this earth. The king fulfills God's promise to Israel. And he established a kingdom on earth. This kingdom is not a political kingdom. It's not of this world. It's an eternal, invisible kingdom that is in our midst, among us, and in where? In us. Make no mistake, the kingdom of God, also called the kingdom of heaven, is already here. Say amen. It is here, it is operating, and one day we will see the kingdom of God in his fullness. This is the paradox that sometimes we cannot understand, but we can accept it and we can believe it by faith. The paradox of the kingdom is there. The kingdom of God is here. Say amen. Amen. And it is coming in its fullness. And the kingdom of God is now and is yet to come. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom makes of two words. It means the king domain. The king domain. Any territory, any area, when the king rules and the king reigns, there is where the kingdom of God is. So the kingdom of God is in heaven. The kingdom of God is in earth. And when you ask the king to come and reign in your life, the kingdom of God is where? It's in your life. When you allow the king to reign in your marriage, in your home, where is the kingdom of God? It's in your marriage and in your home. When the king reigns in Grace City Church, and this is what we want, that the king to reign in this place, then his kingdom is here. Whenever God's people gather in his name, his kingdom is in the midst. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is not a weak and diminishing kingdom. That's what the world wants you to believe. I'm telling you, the church is not in trouble. We may hear all the report. The church is not in trouble. The church of Jesus Christ is ever strong, marching forth, for nothing can destroy the church of Jesus Christ. So is the kingdom of God. It is an ever-increasing kingdom. As Douglas Will writes, the kingdom of God has never been in trouble and never will be. Say amen. It is not something that human beings produce or ultimately can hinder. We do have an invitation to be part of it. If we refuse, we only disadvantage and hurt ourselves. The kingdom of God is here. What is the invitation? The invitation to the kingdom of God is just one word, and he has never changed to today. The word that's been preached by John the Baptist, by Jesus Christ, by Peter in the book of Acts. What is that one word to the kingdom of God? The invitation to the kingdom of God is not good work. It's not good look. The invitation to the kingdom of God is this word called what? Repent. Repent. John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, repent for your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus preached in the gospel, repent for your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent for your sin and believe the good news. Peter, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the people, there was such an awakening. And Peter's first message was this: each of you must repent of your sin, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received the forgiveness of sin. You can never enter the kingdom of God with man-made righteousness, with man-made religiosity. Self-righteousness cannot bring you to the kingdom of God. Self-effort and good performance can never bring you to the kingdom of God. The only way to the kingdom of God is through what? Repentance. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better or assists that of than the righteousness of the teacher of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. To the Jews, the scribe and the Pharisees were the most holiest men in the community. They tried and they failed miserably with their external self-righteousness. They are religiously praying, fasting, and giving and obeying the rules and regulations. They try and they fear. Tell me, if they can't, what hope is there for us? Till today, some of us are still trying. Stop trying. The righteousness that Jesus speaks about is not about perfection. It's not about DIY, do it yourself. It's not about religiosity. It's about standing right before God, not by yourself, not by your work, not by anything, but standing right before God through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross by faith. Matthew chapter 5 clearly says, we are all lawbreakers. You break one law, you break all. Only Jesus Christ came not to break the law, but to fulfill the law. Not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled the law, the Ten Commandments, fully so that he could help us to love it, live in it, and learn from me. You see, there is a saying in our modern Christianity that you as a Christian do not need to obey the Ten Commandments because Jesus has fulfilled it. That is nonsense. The law of God is made up of three. The civic law, the law of the land, the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial law that the Israelites make their sacrifice to God every year. The civil law, the law of the land, needs to be obeyed unless it's against God. The moral law needs to obey because it is an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ as new creation. The ceremonial law has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. So only Jesus, he did not break or destroy the law. He fulfilled the law, the Old Testament. And he is trying through his fulfillment to help each one of us to obey the law of God. Not religiously, not as a yoke of bondage, but relationship with God. Relationally with God. Jesus fulfilled the moral law. Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law, the Old Testament type and ceremony of by his death on the cross. He is the sinless sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice for our sin. And he removed the old covenant to give us the new covenant. And so, how do we receive righteousness? Not by ourselves, but by simply trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. His righteousness upon us. His righteousness become our righteousness by faith. Just like Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was called righteous by faith because he simply believed God. What is the key to the kingdom? What is this word called? Repent. Repent, in a military term, is a soldier marching and making a 180 degrees turn. Not 360 degrees turn, 180 degrees turn. Spiritually, the word repent means the change of my attitude, heart, and behavior. So, repent must bring this word called what? What is this word called? Change. If there is no change, there is no what? Repentance. Wonder Jesus said that if you repent, you must show fruits of what? Repentance. Change is a very powerful and a needed thing in the life of Christian, in the life of believer. Because if there is no change in the person, what evidence is there in you to say you are the child of God? So repent, bring change. This morning from Matthew chapter 5, I want to show you the five pictures of change from this word repent that comes into your life when you have Christ and his kingdom in you. Because repentance makes you a new what? A new creation. When you are a new creation, God has put what now? He has put his spirit in you, say amen. And not only he has put his spirit in you, he has given you a new what? A new heart. All of a sudden you find, how come when I believe in Jesus Christ, I used to lie, but now I find I cannot lie. I used to cheat, now I find I cannot cheat. You realize that? How come now I have a desire to read the Bible? Now I have a desire to come to church, to be around these funny groups of people. Why is that so? Not funny groups of people, God's people. Why is that so? Because there is a what? What is this word called? There's a change. There's a change. There's a change. So when we look at these four changes that take place in your life, it's not change from outside in. That's what the Pharisees is trying to do. They are trying to do everything external. External expression, external practice. And hope that the external will define what is inside here. But the change that God says is that repentance is in the heart. It begins in the heart. And when the heart is changed, when he put his spirit in you, when he put his word in you, when he put his life in you, somehow that change comes inside. And the inside must be expressed outside. So you live in the power of repentance through what? Inside out. Say amen. Through inside out. Now, the kings live inside. The first change in repentance is called the change of mind or mindset. That's the first change. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked about blessed, 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 blessed. The first change that takes place is the change of your mind or your mindset. And what is the change of the mind and the mindset is that you see the world. You see your world. You see your life now through what? Through the eyes of God. Can you imagine everything that Jesus said? Blessed, blessed, are blessed. In terms of the world, how can you say you are blessed? Because to the world, you're only blessed, you're only successful, you're only happy, you're only prosper, you're only satisfied when you have, when you're on top, when everything is working well for you. For the world say that I'm only what? I'm only blessed. And everything about me is based on the external. On the external, for me to be happy. So God said, you repent, the first thing you do is the change of mind. Seeing your world, seeing your life different. And what is the difference? I am blessed. I am happy. I am satisfied. Even though I may have trouble, there are challenges, but I am simply because of one thing, the blessed one. Jesus is called the blessed one. The blessed one lives here and reigns what? Here. So your outlook is no more from the outside in. Your outlook of life is from the inside out, the change of mind and mindset. That's the first change. Chapter 5 tells us, the second change is the change of attitude. The Sermon of Mount is called the Beatitude, means be an attitude. Be like Christ and have the attitude of Christ. Because this sermon is about Christian attitude that they need to have and they must bring into the world. Your attitude is based on your belief. On your belief about God, your belief about God's word. In the past, your attitude has been about life, about input you get from the world, about people putting into you. Help me realize that. It forms your attitude, how you see it, life. But now the Bible says, because Christ lives in here, now your attitude must be on the belief of who God is. So, to have the right attitude in the kingdom of God, it starts with having attitude of who? Yourself. Having attitude about yourself. Here, the question is, are you humble? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not poor in the pocket, not poor with self-esteem, not poor spirit, but rather blessed are the humble, those that have a correct estimate of yourself. To be honest to yourself, know yourself, to yourself be honest, accept yourself. I don't care, I may not be as good looking as Pastor Aaron, it's all right. I may not be as gifted as others, it's all right. I accept myself, I accept. You need to accept yourself that you are wonderfully made by God. You see, the attitude about yourself, Paul said this, don't have such a high attitude about yourself. Overproud yourself. Don't have a correct attitude about yourself. And then, when you have the right attitude about yourself, see yourself not in the eyes of others, see yourself in the eyes of God. And you be yourself. Don't try to be another person. Be yourself for God's glory, for God's purpose. Amen. Repent. Change your mind. Change of attitude. It starts with yourself. Are you meek? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Not having backbones at all, like a floor mat for everybody to walk over. Rather, meekness sees their need for God, their dependence of God, and their reliance of God. They are not those who feel, I am, because I have made myself. There are a lot of self-made men and women around in this world, but they humbly acknowledge, God, who I am, is because of who you are. Nothing to be proud of. Give all glory to who? All glory to God. Then the next thing about attitude to yourself. Are you hungry and thirsty for God? Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be few. We live in a time where hunger and thirst for God is quenched with so many things in our world. We have the mobile phone to keep us busy. We have the internet. Look at the amount of time that people spend on their phone. You are talking to them, they are on their phone. You know, and we have the television. There's so many things. Wonder we are so filled with the things of this world that there is no more space for who? For God. Are you hungry and thirsty for God? The first attitude of repentance is attitude of how you see yourself. The second attitude is the attitude of sin. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn over sin and despise it. We see sin the way God sees it and seek to treat the way God does. The answer for sin is in God. The solution for sin is in God. The world has no answer for sin. Do you think the world has no answer for peace? You think they have answer for sin, which is the result, the cause of peace? Your attitude towards sin. The church at large has color-coded sin with words like fault, mistake, wrong, weakness. And when we color-code sin, sin loses its ugliness and its sting, because sin is a sting that stings your life. When the church stops and afraid to preach about sin, she loses the power of the gospel. Christ died on the cross for what? for our sin and not to give us the good life that is religiously preached in our contemporary church. We see the church today in weakness because of only one thing. The church stopped preaching about what? Sin. If you don't talk about sin, you cannot talk about what? Judgment. You cannot talk about consequences. You cannot talk about heaven or hell. Therefore, when the church should not preach about sin, and the solution to sin is the gospel of Jesus Christ, we miss the power of the gospel. Then this attitude of God. How do you see God? How do you see God? God is merciful. And he promised mercy to the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, mercy given, mercy received. Give more mercy, receive more mercy. How do you see God? You say, blessed are those whose heart is pure, those are who has an undivided heart for God, for they shall see God. How do you see God? I see him as the Prince of Peace. So he said that if I'm the Prince of Peace, I live inside you, blessed are the what? Are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. My attitude towards yourself, your attitude towards yourself, your attitude towards sin, your attitude towards God, who you see God is. And now, is your attitude towards the world. Very clearly, the world is not your friend. Come on. The world is not your friend. It never liked Jesus. It never loved Jesus. It never accepted Jesus. Do you think as what he does to the master, he will do different to you as a follower? You see, the fault is because the church is trying to win the world, not through the preaching of the cross and the power of the gospel. The church is trying to win the world by being more like them. But they forgot. The world is not your friend. It's not your home. She was against Christ and now against us with persecution, with falsehood, with all his lies and accusation. And what should we do when the world do not like us? What should we do? You see, if my wife don't like me, I try harder to make her like me. Don't you do that? When somebody don't like you, you try harder. But when the world don't like you, it's okay. Don't try hard. There are too many Christians trying hard so that the world will love them. But the Bible says it is impossible for the world to love you because they see things different from you. They are different from you. And so Jesus said, if the world don't love you, don't worry. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because if they don't love you, you rejoice. It simply means this, that what he saying is true about the world. As they hate the master, they will also hate you. So we rejoice as kingdom people because we know there's a great reward waiting for us. Amen. It's a bit warm now. Repent. Bring what? Change. Matthew chapter 5. Change of mind, change of attitude. The third change that must take place in your heart is called the change of heart. The Pharisees focused on the outward application of the Old Testament law. Their righteousness focused on outward action, but Jesus focused on what? The heart. The intent of the heart, the issue of the heart, the attitude of the heart. Man looks from the outside. God sees what? The inside. So there are two attitudes of the heart that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. One is murder. The other one is adultery. The old saying, Jesus said, this is the old saying. What is the old saying? The old saying is based on actual acts, doing it. But Jesus brought a higher level that based on what? Based on feelings and thoughts. Feelings and thoughts of the heart. Like what? He said, anger is not just anger. It's not madness of the mind. Anger is not just the rise of your blood pressure. It is murder in the heart. He did not say that anger leads to murder. We know that people get killed because people get angry. Instead, Jesus said, anger is murder. Wow. Quiet. Should I stop here? There is an holy anger, an anger against sins, against injustice. Jesus is not talking about it. Jesus is talking about an unholy anger against people. Where you have this thing burning inside here, you feel that you have been unfair treated. You know, and you perceive that people have done wrong to you, so you face it and you nurse it. Have you ever done that before? Come on, don't put up your hand. And I tell you, when you do that, the devil loves it because he can help you. How many know like that? He will come and fence more ideas. You see, now he is talking about me. You see, now they are whispering about me. So the devil keep on fending. And what happened? This anger keep on what? Building and building and building. When you hold on to anger, it's like a person who grab hold of burning coal in the hand. Because you are angry, you grab hold of burning coal, you want to throw. But the trouble that before you can throw, it burns who? It burns your hand. That's what anger does. Anger actually affects, destroy, don't build. Anger does what? Anger does more harm to you than you ever think of. I hope that as you get older, your temper becomes lower. You don't become so quick to judge, so hot a person. Follow Pastor Kara's advice. Count. To your wife is infinity counting. See, the Bible said that when you hate someone, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that that eternal life and murder do not go together. Then you find in Matthew, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, 27, go ahead and be angry. This is what Paul said. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but do not use your anger as fuel for revenge. And do not stay angry. Do not go to bed angry. It's quite true. Let me talk about couples. Hey, if you ever get angry with one another, please sort it before you go and sleep. Because you want to sleep and snore like a king or like a queen. Not thinking angry with one another. So what is the solution? The solution for God's children is to face this negative emotion of anger. Confess it as sin to God. And then the next step is to go and settle with the other party in a biblical way. Then Jesus talked about adultery. You know, and here he's talking about two things. Two things about adultery. It's no more an act. It is the what? The lasting, the feeling. To see something and you think about it, you fantasize it and you say, I want it. And this is what Jesus meant. Fitting your inner censure appetite as a substitute for the egg. Jesus said it is adultery. The teaching here is not see and no touch. This is not the teaching. The teaching here is don't see and don't touch. Here is where King David make a mistake. He see, he did not turn. He keep on seeing, and then he touch, and then he got himself in trouble. So what is the solution? The solution is this. Give God your eyes. Give God your hand. Because these two little culprits, little eyes, what you see, little hands, what you do, these two little culprits is the cause of sexual sin. The look and the touch. Stop it. Avoid it. Walk away from it. Amen. My mind changed. My attitude changed. My heart changed. The intent of my heart is important to God. Now, the final thing about repentance is the change of what? Change of behavior. Somehow, this change so far has been inside my attitude and heart. Now, this change of behavior is a reflection of what there is what? Inside. The inside change. So behavior change. Now we come to the behavior change. The first change of behavior starts with what? Your mouth, your tongue. Didn't James say that if anyone can control his tongue, he is a perfect person? Most of us sin with our what? With our tongue. Wonder Jesus said, in the multitude of words, sin is not what? Far. So the first behavior change as believers is our tongue. No more do we curse, say amen. Amen. We bless. No more do we complain. We bless. Amen. So it's the change of our conversation, the change of our language, the change of the tongue. Here the Pharisees have this problem. What's the problem? Well, in order to assert their character and sometimes to step away from the truth, to justify themselves, they will swear. Use their mouth what? To swear. They won't use God's name. They will use heaven. They will use earth. They will use some part of their body. And they forgot that none of this belongs to them. So Jesus said the first change is with the mouth. And how does the mouth change? He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. What does it mean? Be honest. Be honest. You know, we live in a time where we are afraid to say yes or no on many issues. We are afraid to stand unmovable on the unchanging standards of God. The world pressurizes us to comply, to compromise, to condone the ever-changing standard. Our reply to them must be simply what? Yes is yes and no is no. Say amen. We have to be clear of our conviction where we stand. We are not here to be people pleasers, say that. We are here to please only one audience, and it's God. You see, the weakness of the church is because we want to be so friendly. We want to win the world, not to the preaching of the cross, but trying to comply. The sadness is we come with maybe, can be, not, could be, or not sure. Jesus say, the change of behavior with our mouth is yes is yes, no is no. Be honest. Be honest in what you say. The second change of behavior is the hand. What does the hand do? The hand retaliates. The old behavior of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is justified. That's the old behavior. But the changed behavior that Jesus calls is to go the second mile by turning the other cheek, giving the coat, and walk 2 miles instead of one. Change. Do not fight back. That's what Jesus said. Behavior, change. The third thing that change is the eye. People can tell whether you love them or not with your eyes. How many of you realize that? The eyes in loving your enemy. The eyes are the window of your soul. What you like, love, or hate can be seen in your eyes. The eyes tells everything. Do not let your eyes betray you. Love those who hate you, curse you, use you, and your eyes show that I'm not retaliating. I'm still loving you. Why? Because Jesus loves you when you were an enemy. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. While you are still an enemy of God, He loves you and He died for you. You do it because Jesus did it. The power that is within you is not that you try, it's that you be. And sometimes in trying to be, we all have this problem, Lord, I don't have the strength. I don't know how. But the answer is take the first one. First step. As you take the first step, you find that His Spirit and His power and His grace will be input into you to take the what? The second step. If you don't take the first step, you will never take the second step. So, this change of behavior that God expects us to live on a higher plane than the lost people of the world who return good for good and evil for evil. As kingdom people, we return good for evil as an investment of what? Of love. So, I repent, I change. Change my mind, change my attitude, change my heart, change my behavior. And all this change is for only one purpose. What is the one purpose? That purpose is called influence. Here you come to verse 13 to verse 16. We influence as salt and light. We are changed so that we can influence as salt and light with His value, with His principle, with His kind of life. So that when we do it, we reflect who the King is and we reflect the kingdom of God in this world. The world needs and the world must see who the King really is. To who? To you. And what the kingdom of God is like. To who? To you. So, why am I doing this? I'm doing all this for one thing, so that I can be an influencer for Jesus Christ as light and salt. And if I'm going to influence the world, then I cannot be like the world. Say amen. I have to be different from the world. If I am the same from the world, how am I going to influence the world? So I step aside and say that, look, I'm a person who has repented. I'm a new creation. I'm a new man in Christ. He has put His Spirit in me. He has put His heart in me. He has given me the Holy Spirit, and now He reigns in me, and I'm only living according to what He says as an expression of who He is in me. Not who I am, but who He is in me. Now I live out. And I live out as the salt and as the light. Well, are you sitting tight? The salt and light is a sermon of itself. The thing about salt, the warning is that don't lose your saltiness. That's the warning. When God's people are like the world, we lose our saltiness. We've seen lately how big names has lost their saltiness. How are they going to influence the world? The issue of the light. You can either shine the light or hide the light. Jesus said, don't hide the light, shine the light. And my encouragement to each one of you is that you will pour out the salt. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be a salt savoring that bring out God's favor of this earth. Turn on the light. No one light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Every day, ask the King. Ask the King to help you to pour out the salt and turn on the light in your life. You are the citizen of His kingdom. The world cannot see only through you who the King is, what the kingdom of God is. So I pray that you live inside out as citizen of His kingdom with His kingdom value, kingdom principle, and kingdom power and authority. The world must see the King and His kingdom in action. And it can only see through you. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. Lord, your word, Lord, is always true. Your word is a lamp unto us. Your word brings, it's like a mirror, Lord, to our souls. And your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. But truly, Lord, your word is also spirit and life. Lord, we pray that this morning you will help us, Lord, each of us, to respond to your word in truth, O Father. Help us, O Father, to see our lives as how you see them. And help us to respond to your call to repent, O Father. Lord, we pray that you give us faith and courage to respond in obedience. And Lord, we desire, Father, to have a change in our mind, in our mindset. Lord, to be focused on the things above, to be focused on heaven, on your, to be focused on your kingdom. We desire to have a change in our attitude, O Lord, that we become more Christ-like. Lord, we desire to have a change of our hearts, that our hearts, O Lord, will not chase after the things that are of this earth, or that are earthbound, but they are heaven-bound. Lord, we desire to have a change of our behavior, so that, Father, that we are able to reveal you, Lord, in and through our lives, that we can reveal your kingdom in and through us, that we can be effective as your salt and as your light. in this world. So, Father, we ask that you will help us, Lord, to live the calling that you have upon each of us. And we give ourselves to you even this day, this morning. We respond to you even right now. We bless you, O Father. We thank you once again for your word. In Jesus' name we pray these. Amen. Amen. Shall we rise and shall we respond to the Lord with this worship song?